to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Rod Oram, how are you?
Good morning, Mikey. I'm very well, thank you.
Did you play the Sex Pistols at your birthday party?
No.
Not for you?
But I actually use one of a Johnny Rotten quote in many of the presentations I use. You'll have no future if you don't make one for yourself.
See, they're awesome, aren't they?
Yeah.
he's got some interesting thoughts, that man. Have you ever read his biography?
No, but I hear it's absolutely terrific.
It's a cracker too. It may embellish a story here and there, but it's a great read.
I'll tell you one thing. Even my vicar is reading his biography at the moment. So there you go. Actually, it might be his autobiography, isn't it?
Yeah.
His autobiography. Yeah, yeah. So mind you, Richard is a man of great taste and intellectual and curiosity.
which church is that?
St. Andrew's Epsom.
All right. St. Andrew's Epsom Vicar's reading the Johnny Rotten biography. That's good to know. The world's a good place.
It is.
it's a good place politically at the moment. I was remiss this week because it was Monday. That's a trick, isn't it? We speak to Jacinda Ardern on a Monday, and maybe she knows Mondays are a little bit difficult. But I forgot to talk to her about the immigration scheme, the big story about Labour this week, which kind of annoys me. But at the time, I know that I sort of thought the whole thing was a bit of a storm in a teacup. Is it a storm in a teacup, or is it actually something that's a massive blunder on Labour's behalf?
This was a Matt McCartan special. He went off and decided to do this. It seems as though pretty much freelancing it. He didn't do it very organised at all well. When it all became too much for him, the party stepped in. I think that's the end of the story, really. It's hard to see that this is a big issue amongst all the other things we're trying to deal with in the country.
Right. And Matt McCartan, I feel he's obviously made a mistake, but I feel a little bit sorry for him because he's been a battler for a long time, Matt McCartan, and he's been on the side of right for a long time.
Yes, he has, and full credit to him for that. Once in a while, we all do something less well than we should have done, and this looks like one of those for him.
But this is a political, like, death sentence for him, isn't it?
I don't know. He's got a long history has played many roles in that and has great skills. I hope he'll still be, some good things to do.
You don't think it's going to affect the election? You don't think it's going to affect their plotting attack on the national enclave?
I just don't see how people can extrapolate from this that there is a lack of purpose in the Labour Party when there's a whole bunch of far, far, far more important issues to the country being put on the table.
You mean like Todd Barclay getting too wasted in Queenstown and then writing himself off for some farm conference he's supposed to be at the next day and then getting himself a doctor's note and then recording his staff? Talking to the to Prime Minister to Bill English about it, and then not talking about it, and then all those lies.
Yeah, no, this story.
Litany.
The story is amazing how it keeps going.
That's a National Party special though, eh?
it is when the payoff comes from the Prime Minister's special fund and from taxpayer funding.
That's what I mean. It keeps another level gets chucked on you. Oh, is there more? There's got to be more. Oh, there is more! Yay!
And it does. Makes me wonder, at least, why was the party so protective of him? Yes, he is an MP, that's true, I have no idea what the relationships are here got him a prize constituency and accorded him so much support from the party.
I think that's a really good call because that has not been discussed, I don't think, at all in the mainstream media about how a young MP got such a lucrative spot, as you say, and why he was why he was bailed out so hard.
Yeah, for me that's the big interesting unanswered question.
Why didn't they just do something like they did in the Catholic Church style with Mike Saban and just disappear him?
That's right. Well, exactly. And I don't know what happened there either,
but you know.
I don't know that we'll ever know. But as I say, that's the central mystery for me.
Do you think there's any further news to come from that?
I have no idea. There's clearly some people who are very unhappy with him, and clearly feel that he, you know, wasn't doing the job right or properly or whatever. Who knows how much more there is? I mean, they know.
Yeah.
How much more there is that might come out through this?
Is it as taxpayers? You know, as New Zealanders, citizens of the country, regardless who the government is it? Should we be comfortable with the fact that people are getting paid out of the Prime Minister's personal fund?
No. There's a greyer case where the payout is a result of somebody screwing up on some. Professional engagement, some work engagement, in the line of duty as a minister or whatever.
Yep.
In this case, this is very much around his inability at a personal level to conduct himself in a legal and appropriate way. This does absolutely not meet that criteria at all.
John Key obviously knew about it.
John Key's what? Sorry.
Obviously knew about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thus I go back to my main point is to why were they so keen on this bloke and to protect him I'd have thought.
I can imagine there'd be people in the Young Nats that are older than him. Who would be spewing that they haven't even had a go, you know?
Yeah, and it's not an age thing, because we're in all the way through Parliament, we've had some terrific, very young MPs.
Yeah.
It's about your ability to do the job and your maturity in the job.
Yeah.
And there are certainly signs here that he was failing at that fundamental level.
Did Bill English handle the whole situation right, or is he handling it correctly, you think?
He just has this really unfortunate pattern of not being kind of out of his depth in terms of the words he's trying to find to say things. He's not explaining himself at all well, and that's a problem because we need people to explain themselves well.
Again, it came at a time, exactly the time when he stood up there and said, "Thank you for choosing me as your leader again." Here we go, sort of thing. Yeah. At the conference. You know, he looked like the the captain of the ship, didn't he? But unfortunately, he was coming across as a bit of an egg.
Yeah, I mean, it looks as though he was clear with Barclay that look, this is a serious matter. You need to deal with it. It does kind of beg the question I'm the Deputy Prime Minister, and I'm going to deal with it because I think this is really important. I mean, you could argue around that point.
Plus, it's my former constituency.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my former staff member.
Yeah, and whether he should have been more active in that. We just don't know enough.
What about the sex and drugs?
Who knows?
Who knows, eh? even if there wasn't a mention of it, it just sounds good to tack it on at the end, doesn't it?
Yeah,
what about the sex and drugs?
Well, all I can say is many of the MPs I know work very hard, and I'm not sure they have time for that. But anyway.
Well, we don't know, though, do we?
We don't know.
We may find out more, we may not. Maybe the Prime Minister of the country next after this election will be Gareth Morgan.
He is playing an interesting role in this election in terms of putting some very challenging policies on the table and saying things in his very clear and direct way. But it'd be a very long bow to draw that he will line up enough support to even sneak into a large and complex coalition.
Does he want to be sitting in Parliament? Is that what he wants to do here, or does he want to establish the party?
The
Opportunities Party for people.
His motivation is definitely he's one of these people who sees issues and says, "Oh, that's not right. Let's fix that," and wants to put his view on the table as to what's to do. He wants big ideas, some useful solutions to work. So logically, you would have a go at that through politics.
Yep.
And so I think that commitment or that desire to help the country solve some difficult problems is very genuine. So, but quite what his appetite would be for actually working that through the complex process of politics, I don't know, but he's serving a very useful purpose to, you know, putting these ideas on the table.
He said the Opportunities Party would give Māori rights to water and charge farmers for every litre they use. At the moment, 87% of New Zealanders are unhappy about unbottled water. Exporters being able to get water for next to nothing and send it overseas for large profits. I think that National are sort of shaking off this water issue at their peril, I think. I don't know if it's going to be big, whether it's going to help out the Opportunities Party too much. It might give them a few of the Māori vote, which is obviously what they're going for. But I think the water issue could be an issue.
Well, it certainly is very much an issue, and not just around only having to pay for the resource consent, the permits to extract water, rather than having to pay for much vending of the water itself. I mean, that issue, the issue of farming and water quality, those are all big election issues. As is often the case with Gareth Morgan proposals, they are multi-part, and so you can say, well, yeah, I see the logic of that, and yeah, okay, I'm all right about that, but we're not at all sure about that. So there's a bit of that in here. But the central argument is that water is owned by the public, but that doesn't mean that it's then of free use for companies, which is what's going on.
Yeah.
And so the idea that water is a free input into your business, whether it be farming or bottling water, is to me a real problem. And no, farmers would say, would have all sorts of pushback against that, not the least of which is it costs us money to put in irrigation systems. And you say, well, fine, but the water's still free. Or hydro generators say, well, it costs a lot of money to build a dam and look after it and the generating kit and all the rest. You say, yeah, that's fine, but if you're using another kind of fuel, you'd have to pay for that too.
The cost, yeah.
But then that begs the question, do you start charging wind turbine owners money for the wind blowing past their turbine?
Yep.
So
yep.
That's where it gets really complicated. But the idea that farmers also are paid penalty if they're putting more nitrates and other pollutants into water than above the sustainability level, and therefore they're fined for that. Those who are doing less than the sustainability level get money out of that pool, so they get rewarded for doing better, is a very, very powerful argument. Very complex to put into place, but that's
super complex when you start getting iwi ownership.
Yep,
issues
and,
in there as well.
I need to have a long, hard think about that, and I don't have an immediate response as to whether that's right or not. But we've got to talk about these things. We've got to reach a real agreement. Otherwise, we'll continue to screw this up.
And thanks for talking to us this morning, Rod Oram.
Hey, my pleasure.
All the best to you. Bye bye.
See you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.